Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to talk with you. If you have some Bible question or an issue you're dealing with, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Great passage of Scripture, one that everybody needs to know, everybody needs to underline. Everybody needs to actually memorize this. Yeah. It's Hebrews chapter 10, and it's talking about the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And this is one of the promises of the new covenant. So when Jesus met with his disciples for that last Passover feast meal with them, he raised the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is the blood of the new covenant." So what was he indicating? That the new covenant that had been prophesied, had been promised through the Old Testament prophets, was now coming to be.
Yeah.
It was coming into existence. So when Jesus died on the cross, he ended the old, he put an end to the old, and he ushered in a brand new covenant. And it's that covenant that we live in today. And this covenant is short as far as covenants are concerned. It's a will. It's God's will for you and me. It's what he's left us in Christ Jesus. It's what we inherit in Christ Jesus. And this is the fourth provision, the fourth promise of this new covenant. It says, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." So Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. He presented himself as the propitiation for our sins. Mm-hmm. And that payment was sufficient for your sins, for my sins, for everyone's sins. And when we receive him, we receive that. And here's the good news. God remembers them no more.
Right.
He remembered them one time. That was 2,000 years ago. He dealt with them as harshly as you could deal with sin. He brought death forth through that, and Jesus suffered that for you and me. He died. He who knew no sin became sin. He died. And so sin has been condemned. It's been judged to the fullest extent. And because that has happened, God remembers our sins no more, and where there is forgiveness of these, there's no longer any offering for sin. In the Old Testament, they constantly brought offerings to the temple, mm-hmm. day after day, year after year, and those offerings were a reminder that the sin debt had not been paid in full. Well, when Jesus sacrificed himself, that paid the debt in full. And there's no more sacrifice necessary. So in this new covenant, there is no provision for a sacrifice for sin. Why? Because the sacrifice has already been made. Yeah. Jesus made it, and it was his blood that ushered in this new covenant, a covenant in which we can say God remembers our sins and lawless deeds no more, and where there is forgiveness of these, that's good news.
That is good.
We have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. There is no longer any offering for sin. You get a hold of this, I guarantee you, everything about your life in Christ will change for the better.
Well, Bob, as you said, if we're children of God, we have forgiveness of sins. And, of course, it's an incredible gift of grace. And, friends, it can be yours right now. Believe it. Watch God fill your heart with the joy and turn your guilt and fear to peace and freedom. To help your understanding of this vital truth, we have a free copy of our new pamphlet called Forgiveness. It's the little pamphlet, we say, with the big message. So you can request your copy. It's free, as I said. Request it at basicgospel.net. Link at the very top of the homepage, basicgospel.net. Again, you'll find it on our website, basicgospel.net. Well, right now, plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. If we have, 4 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the broadcast live, and we want to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. First call that came in overnight, Bob. Let's listen.
This is Joy from Northern California, and I have a question regarding the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Jesus says to the woman at the well that those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Could you clarify to me what that means? Does that mean to obey him, to obey his word? Is that worshiping God, worshiping the Father? Thank you for answering my call. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Well, Joy, thank you for that question. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to call us and to ask it on the Basic Gospel broadcast.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting conversation that Jesus is having with a woman at the well, and it's in Samaria. So Jesus was coming down from the Galilee region, going to Jerusalem, and normally in that day they bypassed the region of Samaria. They went around it, and even though that was a longer journey, they did not want to go through Samaria and encounter this group of people that they despised and who despised them. But Jesus had an appointment. He had an appointment with this woman at the well, and he wanted to tell her about some living waters that she could drink and would never thirst again. And he reveals to her what's really going on in her life, the fact that she's had five husbands, and the one that she's living with now is not her husband. And she's like, how do you know all this? And she's talking about the fact that we know Messiah is coming, and Jesus makes the claim, the one that you are looking at is he. So he claimed to be the Messiah in this particular conversation. And she really didn't know how to respond to all that. So she started talking about where they worship. So there was a place in Samaria, where a mountain that they went up on and they worshiped. And she said the Jews, they have a mountain that they worship the Lord on. And Jesus says, you know, it's not the place. And we oftentimes get caught up in the place. We go to a particular place to worship the Lord. But he's saying that worship is really a part of life. It's a part of everyday life. And we worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. So we worship him in spirit.
And truth.
And we worship him in truth. Mm-hmm. So we're not worshiping him based on fleshly things, fleshly desires. We are moved by the Spirit of God to worship him. So what does that look like? Well, Paul talks about in Romans 12 that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our spiritual act of worship. So making ourselves available to God, that's worship. That's one aspect of worship. Walking by faith, trusting, depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's worship. So we're looking to him. We're depending upon him. Why? Because he is the one who is the bread of our lives. He is the light of our lives. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the vine. He is everything that we need.
Yes.
So when we recognize that in Jesus, and when we trust and depend upon him, that's worship. That's everyday life. And we get to express that worship, that dependence upon the Lord Jesus, in love toward others. So as we walk by faith in Jesus, we express that dynamic relationship that we have with him in loving one another. Mm-hmm. That's how this Christian life works. So we worship in spirit. That's spirit driven, the Spirit of God moving us to depend and trust and rely upon Jesus Christ, and then teaching us about the love of God that we can express to others. So that Spirit is going to teach us the truth about God as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. He's going to teach us the truth that God is love. He's going to teach us the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God so that we can have that experientially in our relationships one with another. So that's what it means to worship in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
It's not about going to a place on Sunday mornings and singing a few praise songs and thinking that you've checked off the box for worship that particular week. Certainly, that's an aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the amount of hours that you have in a week and that little bit of time that you spend on Sunday mornings at a particular place, that can't be the all and the summation of what worship is. So we have to look at it from the broad picture and recognize that as we trust Jesus Christ, that's what worship is all about. That's an everyday thing. And our worship of the Lord is going to be expressed in our everyday lives. People are worshiping all sorts of things. Worship money. Well, that's reflected in how they live their lives. People worship power. People worship prestige. People worship sexual immorality. And those things that they worship begin to control them and shape how they live their lives. Well, we have the opportunity to worship God through Jesus Christ, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And as we do, that worship of Him is going to shape how we live as believers in Christ.
Joy, great to hear from you. Thanks for reaching out. Hope you'll not be a stranger. Give us a call if you have further questions. And Bob, you have a brand new video on our YouTube channel. Tell us about it.
Well, we asked the question today, can a Christian commit the unpardonable sin? It's a question that we get often here at Basic Gospel. Somebody, you know, has come to Christ and they're going through a down period and they think about a time in their lives years ago where they said something bad about the Holy Spirit, and they read that passage out of Matthew and say, oh, I'm doomed. I've lost my salvation. God has just kicked me out. And so they're worried. They wring their hands. Their stomach is tied in knots, and they need some truth. They need some help to break free from that. And the Word of God is very clear. If you're a Christian, it is impossible to commit the unpardonable sin. Why? Because the unpardonable sin is the rejection of Jesus Christ. And we go into detail in this particular video that was just released today. You can find it at our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, we encourage you to to join the thousands of people that are gathering there to find truth that is setting them free. So come and be a part of Basic Gospel YouTube, and especially if you've struggled with this particular question that you want to know how maybe to answer it when it's asked of you by people, this is a great resource for you, yeah. All available, basicgospel.net/YouTube.
Indeed. Well, friends, we have an open line for you, and if you're hearing the live broadcast, we'd like to speak directly with you right now at 844-322-2742, again in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had a call from Pat, who just a few miles away from here in Arlington, Texas. He had this question.
Hey, how you doing, guys? First of all, I'd like to say I love your show. I have a question about the book of Revelations. You hear a lot about in the end times about China and Russia, you know, gathering up against Israel. But my question is, what happens to the United States? The Bible doesn't really reference the United States during the end times. I mean, is the United States still going to be here or not? Anyway, that's my question, and my name is Pat, and I'm from Arlington, and y'all are doing a fantastic job. Thank you.
Great to hear from Pat.
Yes, most definitely, Pat. Thank you for calling, and we appreciate those kind words, those words of encouragement. You know, we're always trying to look at the book of Revelation, maybe even the book of Daniel, some of his prophecies, and we're trying to map out what's currently happening in the world based on these prophecies. Where are we on the prophetic timeline, and what role is each particular nation playing in the story, the narrative that has been written down for us by these various writers, Daniel and then John, as far as the book of Revelation is concerned. And what we have to realize is that the whole world is going to gather together and rebel against Jesus. That's the source of conflict. It's against Jesus. He is the creator. He is the one that brought us into existence. He's the one who is the great I am. He's the one from whom life flows. And apart from him, we have absolutely nothing. Well, there's an enemy. There's this serpent. There's this Satan, this devil that tried to rebel against God, to usurp his authority and to take over. Well, he was ousted from the heavenly realms. And so what he decided to do was try to capture God's most prized creation. That was you and me. And so he fashioned himself in the form of a serpent. He stood at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he started to twist the very words of God in a way that caught Eve's attention, that made that tree of the knowledge of good and evil look desirable, not only to her, but to Adam as well, and they ate. So they came under the control of that evil one. They came under the control of sin and death. And that's been passed on to all of us. Now, when we come to Christ, we break free from that. He sets us free and gives us a new life that is qualitatively different from what we see out there in this world. And he is gathering people from every tribe, from every nation. And what we see in the book of Revelation is that people from every tribe, every nation are going to be worshiping God. But there are those that are still in rebellion. And God continues to offer opportunities to repent. God continues to offer opportunities to look squarely in the face of Jesus and say, yes, you are the living Christ, and to bow down and worship, but they refuse. And so at the end, there's going to be this great gathering of all the forces of darkness in one last attempt to overthrow. And, you know, they're ready for battle. Jesus Christ shows up on the scene, and he just speaks, and it's done. It's over with. Yeah. Why? Because there's no power on earth that can compare to the power that Jesus has. Mm-hmm. So he ends it in one fell swoop. So United States, guess what's happening? People are being called out from this nation to be a part of the people of God. How is that happening? Through the gospel message. The gospel message is being taught and preached and shared far and wide in this land, and people are responding. They're going from death to life, and they're being added to the church of Jesus Christ, and they're going to be with him forever, a part of that great multitude of people. There are also forces of darkness here in this great land of ours, and those forces of darkness are trying to suppress the truth. Those forces of darkness are trying to keep people from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's happening not only here, but in every other nation around the world. But there's going to be a point in time when all of that is going to be righted, and judgment is going to happen. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth, and we're going to be there with God and dwelling with him forever. That's the good news.
Yes, indeed.
So let's look at the big story and recognize these forces of darkness and how Jesus has already overcome those forces of darkness. Through faith in him, we've overcome those forces of darkness, and we're going to be with him forever. That's the good news.
That is the good news. It's the kind of news you hear every day on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. You know, three words, "it is finished," sum up God's eternal victory over sin. By going to the cross, Jesus finished forever the impact of sin on those who would come to him by grace through faith. And here at Basic Gospel, we want you to live in this truth, truth that brings joy and peace and the sure knowledge of our forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. It's all detailed in "It Is Finished," a six-message CD series by Bob Christopher, and we want to send you a copy to say thank you for your support of Basic Gospel. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift this month. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. It is finished.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Denton, Texas, and talk to Jordana. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're on the air. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, Jordana.
Thank you. I appreciate this, and I appreciate that it's basic and that anybody can call and ask questions.
Yeah.
So my question for you today is, I do a lot of ministry, and I get a lot of questions. I feel like it's really taboo almost in churches and things. Once you become a Christian and the enemy kind of tries to wiggle his way in there, and then you fall back into some of those temptations that you were struggling with before you were a Christian, and then you're wondering, am I still a Christian? Will the Lord erase my name from the Lamb's Book of Life? Because that's been talked about in parts of the Bible. And so I think there's a lot of confusion on once saved, always saved, or not. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, Jordana. And here's the good news. In Revelation chapter 3, we read this: I will never blot his name out of the Book of Life. So once somebody has been written into the Book of Life, that they're going to stay in that Book of Life. God will never blot our name out. That's good news. And the reason why is because of what Christ has accomplished for us, not only through his death 2,000 years ago, but in his resurrection as well. So Jordana, salvation is much more than forgiveness of sins, although that's a part of it. It's also being made alive together with Christ. So you and I were dead in trespasses and sins, but because of God's great love for us and the mercy that he had for us, he made us alive together with Christ. That's what salvation is. We go from death to life in Jesus Christ. And then once we've been made alive together with Christ, Jordana, God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So we become one with God's Spirit. We're in union with God's Spirit. So the only way that we could lose our salvation or lose our eternal life is if God's Spirit lost his. And that's not going to happen, is it?
No.
No. So our salvation is secure. It is complete. It is total. And the fact that God's Spirit dwells in us is the guarantee that when we die, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. This is a big question, a huge question. And if people settle it and realize the salvation that they have in Christ and the fact that Christ has come to live in them through the Holy Spirit, then this question will go out of their minds and they can actually begin to grow in the grace of God and in their knowledge of Christ, and their assurance and confidence can grow as well.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so.
Well, let me do this for you, Jordana. Since you're involved in ministry, I've written a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We talk a lot about assurance of salvation, and that was a big deal for me. And when I finally came to grips with the fact that I was secure in Christ, that's when everything changed in my life. So I want to send that to you just free of charge, our compliments, just to say thanks for calling Basic Gospel today. Can you hold on and let us get your information to send that to you?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you hang on, Jordana. Thanks so much for your call. Yeah. We also had this question from B, listening to us on Facebook. She wants to know about spiritual attacks that we Christians experience. And we do have an enemy, and this enemy accuses us all the time. He tries to make us question the forgiveness that we have in Christ. He tries to make us question our new identity in Christ. How could a believer do something like that? How could a believer think something like that? But it's all accusations. Yeah. It's just empty words. We have an advocate with Jesus Christ. If God's for us, who can be against us? So whenever Satan kind of throws those arrows at us, we're clothed in the armor of God, and we just let the truth of this gospel deflect those and allow us to keep standing in the hope of the gospel in this new life that we have in Jesus.
Thanks, Bob, for that. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. A reminder, we love hearing from you. And if you can't get your question to us while we're actually on the air live, you can leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. You can do that anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742. Also, the love and prayers and support of our Basic Gospel listeners are the vital components that keep us on the air. We love your support, we love your partnership, and would love to send you a copy of It Is Finished to us say thanks for your support this month. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we continue in our study series, The Great I Am, on Basic Gospel. Have a good evening, everybody. Bye-bye.